Welcome to the Triple M Rush Hour podcast for Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's the Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
Happy Friday, podcast family. I know it's Thursday, but the fact is we are on the cusp of a long weekend. So we're in a Friday type of mood, Liesl Jones. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Hi, Dobbo.
Hello, Liesl. How are you? Hello, Liam.
Hello.
Okay, I'm just going to come out with it and say it. How upset would you be if someone broke a toilet seat in your house?
How upset would I be?
Yeah.
Like, what sort of damage are we talking?
I mean, completely snapped it in half.
What sort of toilet seat? Plastic?
Yeah,
or
wood.
Well, it was a wooden one.
I'd be annoyed. I'd also be very curious because I don't think anybody in my house has the required oomph to snap a wooden toilet seat in half.
Okay. If it was 25 years old, does that make something different? You think about males not lifting the toilet seat, urinating on it over 20 years of, like, you know, wood, it rots, it breaks down. We know what happens with wood, like, so it's rotten and then finally it breaks. Do you think the person that breaks it is the culprit, or do you think it's a long-serving poor behaviour and
did
manners?
Did you break it in one go? Like, did you
Why would you say it was me who
Liesl,
broke it?
Liesl, I feel if we're in a court of law right now, I'd be objecting and saying leading the witness. I feel like he's trying to lead us to sit on a certain side of this argument.
Okay.
I feel like it's hard to break it in one. Was it cracked before?
There was a crack.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what happened.
So you've all contributed.
It's a toilet seat. It sees lots of cracks.
They've got a toilet seat.
Lots of other things.
They got a toilet seat in the outside toilet, which is in the garage. So the polite thing, because I'm living with my father-in-law, is rather than smell out the main toilet, I go to the out toilet.
That's very considerate of
you. Yeah, I do. I think it's just a right thing.
I think everyone should do that.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
You should nominate him for Queensland of the Year, actually, while I think of it.
So I go out there, I get the seat, I push it down, I sit on it. Then as I'm coming up, it just literally falls to bits.
So That's pretty funny.
I flush the chain, do all that, wash your hands. I go and take the toilet seat in and I walk in literally like this and say,
Vern, it's still warm.
Vern, I don't know what happened, but it broke. Uh-huh. Well, you'd think I'd stolen a car. Like, you'd think I'd stolen a car in the whole thing. And so I am now, there's three things. A, do I buy a new toilet seat? It's 20 years old.
May as well. Yeah.
B, do I just dig in and say, no, this is it? Or C, do I accept responsibility that this is all my fault, but I'm not prepared to pay for a new one?
I say A, buy a new toilet seat, but can you buy one of those really bad 90s ones that are resin and have like fish in it and starfish and spiders and stuff in the resin on the toilet seat? Because they're great. I love those. They're like clear resin.
Go on.
You are... I wouldn't say you're entirely at fault here.
I know I'm not involved.
Because when did you move in?
January.
And how old's the toilet seat? Best guess.
24 years old. House was built 24 years ago.
Even if it's half that age, right?
The house was built in 2000 and it has never been changed. So now, it's a 24-year-old house.
Now, your cell of urine breaking down the toilet seat over the years, and look, it's a bit hard to stomach and listen to, frankly, but I don't think you're entirely to blame. What I would say, though... You're a guest in someone's house. You broke their toilet seat. You need to replace it. It's a very short conversation, Dobbo.
Two votes. Him a new seat.
And
he's a pensioner.
Don't cheap out on a plastic thing. You need to go and buy him. It needs to be oak. It needs to be.
Oh. Was that oak seat and lid? Like,
yeah, that's
walnut.
What it was. Heavy duty. Yeah,
it needs to be walnut coloured oak.
Oh, jeez.
And I think you should sign it, saying Dobbo was here.
I'll piss on it.
Then it's yours.
Mark is territory.
Yeah. Big story about to break.
Back page of the paper tomorrow morning.
I'm having conversations at the present moment.
You're hearing it first right here on the Rush Hour.
This is Dobbo's Mail on Triple M.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, the Dolphins got their season back on track, and it was off the back of their number 7, Isaiah Katoa, who absolutely steered their side around. The 20-year-old... who came to the club from as a Penrith junior last year, is one of the most highly sought after players in the NRL. Well, today he inked a 3-year extension that will see him remain a Dolphin at least to the end of 2028. And the 20-year-old, Isaiah Katoa, joins us now on the phone. Congratulations, my friend. Well done. You must be bloody happy.
Thank you very much. No, I'm over the moon at the moment, but, you know, we kind of spoke before about just being able to lock down and set myself up for the future. And, I think that was the biggest part of it. And being able to do it at Dolphins, where I was able to, you know, debut and have my first year in the NRL, it's something that means a lot to me and a lot to my family as well.
You're just a baby. You're only 20 years of age. I have no idea how you do that. Well, how difficult is that to be the halfback of such a big team now, the Dolphins in the NRL, and leading people when you're only 20 and just 20 at that in February?
Honestly, I actually found it a bit daunting to start with, especially having some of the veterans in the game like Jesse and Kenny and Felice and the GOAT. And obviously, being a halfback, you've got to find a voice. And those guys give me a lot of confidence to just, you know, tell them what to do and kind of steer them around the park. And for me, it only just makes me feel so much more confident to go out there and own my role and be able to, go out there and just control the game and kind of guide those boys around the park, because it's something they always say to me and Wayne always says to me is, you know, the big boys, they're like halfbacks that tell them what to do. They don't like to think too much. So if I can do the thinking for them, they'd appreciate that.
You re-signed, but how much confidence did it give you that they went out and they got Flegler, they went out and got Farmworth, Avarillo? They're talking to other players that are going through. There is an appetite to go and get more and more of those elite players to the club. Was that one of the real reasons why you wanted to bunker down there? And because we know that there were a lot of clubs chasing you.
Oh, definitely, mate. There was multiple reasons why, I could have thought about that many reasons that I wanted to re-sign. That doesn't actually just involve footy. And then you kind of add that footy aspect into it. Yeah, like you said, mate, some of those signings that we've got, are bloody awesome signings. And to be able to have them come over, it's something that I think was the biggest part of me re-signing. I knew that we could build something special here. And I understand that takes time, our second year into the NRL, we're definitely heading in the right direction. And with more years to come, we're going to get a lot more signings. And, you know, I think the benefit of our team is a lot of us are young as well. So being able to build a future with such a young team, it's going to be pretty awesome.
Well, you've swapped the Riff for the Cliff. You've gone moved from Penrith to Red Cliff. And but what do you do with yourself out there? We know that Jeremy Marshall King and the Hammer like to get out on the tinny and do some fishing. What are you doing with yourself away from footy?
Oh mate, if I'm not at training or if I'm not at home, I'm at the golf course. So
he's only a golfer, mate.
There's only a couple places you'll find me, and the majority of the time it's probably the golf course.
Who's taking the money at the Fins when you boys hit the course together?
Lately, it's actually been Jake Avarillo. He's a bit of a burglar.
Is that
really?
Right? Is that right?
He's such a sneaky burglar. He tries to play off, tries to give himself an extra couple shots, and then ends up coming out and playing out of his skin on the day. And we're like, what the heck is this bloke up to?
Izzy, I've got to ask you, mate. You big deal, and a lot of money for a young bloke. And you've come from a really sensible family. Is it just about future-proofing your family? Because I know your parents made such big sacrifices to get you to where you are today. What does a young bloke spend his money? Is there something you're going to go out and buy, a flashy car? Or what do you do with it?
I think one of my goals one of my personal goals away from footy was to kind of set up my family. And, you know, I'm looking to buy a house at the end of the year. And that's something I always speak about to my manager, my older brother. I speak to a lot of people about it, just being able to set up my future and not being, I guess, silly with my money. I'm the type of guy to, have a bit of balance. I like to enjoy myself and reward myself with things, but then at the same time, I don't want to be too silly and get carried away with it. I do want to set up my future. I understand that, footy career can just go like that with one injury. So, touch wood, that's not the case, but I guess for me, it's just being able to have the support network around me to kind of steer me in the right direction. Another thing I'm looking into is wanting to get into investment properties. So
good on you.
Yeah, I guess it's all just a learning process at the moment. I'm still very young, and You know, I speak to a lot of the older boys, and you know, Jesse's a perfect example. You know, he's got many properties under his name, and just I guess kind of learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of some of my goals at the end of the year. But like I said, I always try and find a balance. I do like to enjoy myself, and I probably get a bit carried away with
you. You're a legend, mate.
I don't know, I probably need to calm down.
You're a legend.
Bloody hell, you are 20 years of age. Can we put you on a billboard and make you the face of the NRL? That is the most switched on person I think I've ever spoken to.
Wise head on young shoulders, which is exactly what you want from your halfback.
Yeah.
Izzy Katoa signing this new deal that means he's sticking around with the Finns for the long-term future. It's very exciting for the club and for rugby league in general. Thank you so much for your time, Izzy. As we say goodbye, can I ask you just to take it easy on my Titans on Saturday night? Because they are going
They're
going
to cop it.
Oh, mate. Hey, I'll do one for you.
Izzy Katoa from the Finns. Best of luck this weekend, mate. Thanks for your time.
No, all good. Thanks, guys.
You too, get stuck into your humble pie, because yesterday, if anybody missed it, just before we finished up our show, mainly you, Dobbo, but Liesl, you jumped on the bandwagon. You got stuck in because, yes, the weather wasn't great, but both of you piled in on my people, campers, and you started laying in and forecasting a crappy weekend of Easter camping.
You with your soft hands, I don't think you're a camper. I don't think you've ever camped in your life, so don't you be throwing that out. And if history is to say anything, it always rains over Easter.
The skies are clear.
Yeah, it's Thursday.
You know what? They're just giving you a test. They're getting all you stupid campers going, look at the weather. It's going to be right.
It's a trap.
It's a bloody trap. And
camping's
I tell you what,
great.
I've been down this road before where they throw out a beautiful 27 degrees, slight wind from the southeast. And you know what? It's all a mirage because she's a coming. It rains on Easter. I can tell you.
We have got so many people in their cars right now on their way to campsites.
And
right?
I say you
have fallen for the trap. And I'm going to give you why I retired from camping. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to take you to that date.
I remember the press conference when he announced his retirement.
1999, wonderful year. A mate of mine, Mick Sylvester, is a cattle buyer. He says, mate, we're going to Inskip Point. Would you like to come? I said, mate, that sounds amazing. We drive from Springshore, of all bloody places, all the way to Inskip Point. 9 hours. Ooh. We get there. We pitch a tent. Weather beautiful. Lo and behold, the camping gods arrived at about 3 a.m. that night. Our tent got blown to smithereens. We got a hole in our air mattress. We got bogged, couldn't get out of there. And I'm like, I'd rolled my swag for that many years in the territory. I've been in the bush. I ain't camping ever again. I don't give a crap where you go. It's a great. People go, oh, you want to go fishing in Inskip Point?
No.
Never. I don't care. I don't care what you say. Oh, we'll go to Fraser. No. Oh, unless you get me in the resort, I ain't going anywhere.
Helicopter me in and out, I'll do it.
The camping, you can get stuck. You know what? The reason you retire from camping is because of that. Easter, it destroys relationships. It destroys people's souls. It will rain at Easter, and you know what I'm going to say while I'm lying on the couch? Sucked in. I've had enough.
And also the sandy feet. I can't deal with that. If you've got sandy feet when
you
hop into bed.
I retired
from camping at the ripe old age of 12 after my mum didn't make me go camping anymore because we used to go to Lake Catharabar, and I do remember the drive up there. I have no idea how my mum did it, though. Single mum, she would have just been, doing all the tents herself. Yeah, as soon as I wasn't forced to do it and I chose what I wanted to do with my Easter break, I chose not to.
I love it.
You're both the camping cowards as far as I'm concerned.
Mate. I've officially retired. I'm happy to do that.
I didn't even need trauma around camping to retire from
it. I did.
Just wasn't for me.
I did, and I'm still traumatised by my
133353, are there any other fellow camping cowards out there that have retired from this? Somehow retiring
from camping.
People
driving there under sufferance because of the pain that they've been put through, who are only doing it because they're doormats, they're under the thumb.
133353. If you're headed off camping this weekend and you hate it, give us a call. But also, if you've had a camping nightmare, if you've had a camping disaster, if you've had that moment that, like Dobbo and Liesl, forced you to retire from camping, we want to hear where you went and what went wrong.
Brad from The Gap, when did you retire from camping, mate?
Oh, mate, gee, it was probably about 10 years ago now. Yeah. There was myself and my two kids and my ex-partner at the time and, yeah. and her kids heading up to Double Island Point. So we had to head up there. When was it? Oh, we had to sort of head up 3 weeks before, set up the tents because it was over New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So busy up there. So we got up there. The tent had been bad weather up there. The tents were blown over, so we had to fix them up. It was stinking hot, no showers.
Yeah.
Drop toilets 200 metres away.
Yuck.
I got gastro.
Oh.
We put the tents too close to the water.
Yep.
Big king high tide. Thanks, came
away
in.
We go.
It was absolutely horrendous. Never again. Never,
and that's why,
ever again.
That's why you're no longer with your missus. You said it's an ex.
Correct.
Camping
Correct.
Breaks. It breaks people, mate. I'm telling you.
Gastro and camping certainly does.
Long drop dunnies, mate. Oh. You know what? You can retire off the back of them.
That does sound awful.
Beatrice from Minden, did you retire from camping?
Yes, retired at the age of about 10. My family, my mum and dad, and FYI, are now divorced.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Thought they were probably expert campers. We did overseas trips to New Zealand where we packed all the tents. But this one particular trip down on the south coast of New South Wales, down near Batemans Bay, Ulladulla,
yep.
a little place called Mogo,
yep.
We were camping, my younger brothers, and of course, like as Dobbo was saying, that 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a storm come through. My dad is literally digging trenches through the tent around the other baby.
Yep.
All the bedding is wet. Everything's wet. Mum and dad are fighting. Everything's thrown in the car. And my older brother, he was about 13 at the time, and I thought it was quite cute to make up a jingle about don't go to Mogo.
Don't go to Mogo.
Do you remember it?
Don't go to Mogo. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I probably can't sing along now, but I think that's all we had was just don't go to Mogo.
Don't go to Mogo.
We couldn't come up. Don't go to Mogo. And I feel sorry for the people of Mogo. It's probably a beautiful town. Nothing against the tourism in the town, but it was like, no.
Dreadful experience.
Beatrice, you can say what you like about Mogo. We don't go into that town, no. So say whatever you want.
It's a dog hole. Chris from Morayfield, you're retired from camping?
Sure am, mate. I'm a bushy like you. Grew up on the BNS ball,
yep.
Gundy, Nindy Gully.
Great days. Yeah, great days.
Races days. And, you know, as a young chap, it's fine. You know, you don't mind getting a bit muddy and not showering for 3 days. But last time I got pneumonia and, yeah, that's it. I'm done.
Pneumonia. So, great.
Pneumonia will make you to stop. Where was this experience that you got in a caught pneumonia from?
This is the last one I went to at Nindy Gully. I was about 19.
Yeah. Nindy Gully pub, great pub. They have a B&S there. You camp there.
Fantastic pub.
Yeah, great pub. Right on the banks of the Boulogne River. Yeah.
Not great you know when what? You have pneumonia.
Well, you get pneumonia. That's another thing. Sickness and illness that comes out of camping. These are all factors.
Gastro and camping.
And you know what,
mix.
Liam? When you ring us up next week, we'll know exactly why.
What I'm hearing is you and Brad and Beatrice and Chris are just a bunch of wusses. That's what I'm hearing.
Wussies that enjoy a nice dry bed, the not sick, and no long drop toilets. Well, it's a flush.
Bunch of camping cowards.
Sure. I've had a little thought. I was watching the news last night and with Stephen Miles. He's been on the TV everywhere. We know that. And he's been making huge announcements about the Olympic Games and a lot of election stuff and whatnot. I had one thing that I did notice about Stephen Miles, and I do have a little bit of feedback. I feel like Stephen Miles might be able to do some deportment classes. You know when they go to deportment classes and they put books on your head and you've got to carry tea and you learn how to eat soup and things like that.
Right.
I feel like we could pop Stephen Miles in that because he tends to look like a thumb when he talks. He puts his chin right down.
Who are you talking? Where did you come up with this?
Well, I just saw it last night on the news and then I spoke to my chiro this morning about how he sometimes looks like a thumb.
Were you suggesting that the chiro could help him out?
Maybe, yeah, it could straighten out his neck a little bit.
Why were you talking to your chiro?
I always talk to my massage therapist and chiros about everything. Just some thoughts. I'm a very chatty Cathy when it comes to my treatments. I talk to them about everything.
What did the chiro have to say about Stephen Miles' thumbness?
He quite agreed.
Okay.
And he thought maybe he could do.
Just
put your chin up a
do you
bit.
Chat? Do you chat to your service providers?
I chat to Sonia, my acupuncturist. Yep, she's part of the Ipswich City pipe band. She plays the bagpipes. Yeah, Sonia, she's a legend. But no, I don't. Oh, Berkey, my physio, sometimes I have a bit of a chat to. Yeah.
I talk extensively to my massage therapist. extensively the whole time. I look forward to it. It's a chat. It's so like a psychology appointment. It's great.
So there, you're not actually there for the massage.
It is. No. It's not.
Have I pay $100 for a massage and for psychology.
Have they studied psychology?
No, but his sister-in-law has.
That'll do.
That's enough. That's all I need.
No, Lisa.
Sometimes a chat is all you need to just unwind all your issues and it gets the stress out of my neck.
That's why you come to work well with us.
You cause the stress. That's why I go to the massage. To get this out. And that's also the psychology session. It's just talking about you guys and just how you annoy me. And the stupid things you say sometimes. And Liam, you know, what the rude things you know, pot shots you have at me every time.
Uncalled for. They are uncalled for.
Hey, this, we got radio studio privilege here. You can't take the stuff we say to you and talk to other people about it.
It's a kind of silence.
You talk to it on a big radio station.
Yeah, I mean, the rude stuff we say off air.
So, obviously, the Car Web medal launched. I'm going to talk about that very shortly when we speak with Darren Lockyer after 5 o'clock. But the thing that will come tomorrow night is a special beer to commemorate what is such an important part of the fabric of what Carl Webb's legacy leaves. 4X have produced 42 cartons of We Give a 4X About MND, motor neurone disease, and it's cheers to Charlie, to Carl Webb. Now, we have got our hands on these iconic beers. I've had them in the crisper.
I've never felt more like a Queenslander.
Well, drink a 4X.
We should say cheers. Cheers. And cheers to Charlie. That's what this
Carl
is all
Webb,
about.
Carl legend. Yeah. Yep. And what an awesome idea. And well done to Pat Donahue and the team at 4X who have done this. Yep. A great, along with the Broncos and also the Cowboys, North Queensland Cowboys ahead of tomorrow. Quite iconic. And we've got one of these.
Absolutely.
Only 42. So both teams will have a carton put in their sheds. The winning team will obviously shower the, you know, with the team song with this.
Can you purchase them?
No, in fact,
it says on the label. And we'll get a picture of us with these beers and the Carl Webb hats that we've got as well. We'll get these up on our Instagram, @MMRushHour. But it says on the side of this special beer label, 4X Gold, commemorative product only, not for resale or distribution.
Yeah,
so these things are going to be rare as hen's teeth.
Mm.
Yeah. I do like it. Look, this is a very special occasion, right? And I love that they're celebrating Carl Webb and getting the attention and increasing awareness about MND out there.
Sure.
Great work by 4X. But I do like it when sporting moments and occasions are sort of memorialised by beer companies. I remember the Adelaide Crows when I grew up in South Australia when they won their back-to-back premierships in 97 and 98. West End, the local brewery, came out with these commemorative cans and they sat on my, I reckon, so 97, 98, I would have been 13 and I had these two beer cans that,
are you kidding?
That I reckon are still at my mum and dad's house in Adelaide now.
Collect them.
Wow, they're probably worth a fortune. In my garage, I've actually made wine myself. I think I must have been 18, so I couldn't have been 2001, but we, Styx Winery, it used to be in the Yarra Valley. It doesn't exist anymore, but I thought it was after Styx, the AFL player. But
Steve Kernahan.
Yeah, but maybe it's not. But anyway, we made some wine. So we stomped on the grapes in the barrel. It was myself, Jeff Hugel, Nicole Livingston was there, Simon Cowley, the men's breaststroker, he was there. I can't remember who else was there, but we've made a bottle and I've got a massive Magnum in my garage. It sits
still
in there. Yeah, I've still
what,
got
with a special label?
Special label.
Red wine
it's
or
all
red, or
red wine? Yeah.
Oh, let's uncork it.
What's it called?
I don't know. Styx of the Yarra Valley or something on the front of it.
But
yeah.
It's not like Liesl's Long Drop or?
No, it's not. It's all of our feeder is contributed to this. Well, let me bring it in. I'll show you next time.
So we got Jeff Hugel, Simon Cowley, yourself,
Nicole Livingston.
Yeah,
there was a few more. Yeah. It was pretty old school.
Do you
want
to drink Liesl's foot wine, Dobbo?
I'd try it. I love a red wine. Doesn't matter what it is.
It'd be lovely and aged now.
I'll even drink cask wine.
Cask?
Cask.
Or cast. I think it's cask wine.
So you've got handmade or foot-made wine.
Yeah, foot-made wine, that I've contributed to myself.
Wine's made to be drunk, Liesl. We should be celebrating.
Do you want me to bring it in? We can open
it
if you like.
Bring it in and let's uncork it.
Yeah, okay.
I tell you what, save it.
Yeah.
When we become the number one show, we'll crack open your
Olympic. You know how disappointing it's going to be? It's going to be so sour. It's going to be vinegar by then. I'm sure it was lovely the first year I made it, but it's probably vinegar.
We're not meant to drink beer on air, but for a special occasion
for
like
Carl
this.
For Carl Webb, we do.
To Carl Webb, well done to Forex, well done to the Broncos, well done to the Cowboys, everybody involved with celebrating this man and continuing to raise awareness around MND. Tomorrow night is going to be a huge moment, not only for the two teams, but for the game and for the legacy of Carl Webb.
Cheers to Charlie.
Cheers to Charlie. Rush Hour, Lisa Jones, Liam and Dobbo, Triple M. We are counting you down to the long weekend, and we're also counting you down to what we hope will be the kickstart of the Brisbane Lions 2024 Premiership campaign. They are winless.
So are Collingwood.
So are Collingwood going into tonight's grand final replay at the Gabba. It is a sellout.
I got tickets. I just want to say this now. After some manipulating around and phone calls, I'm going, baby. You'll be on it.
You put a phone call into this man? Bloke with over 300 games, three premierships, Brownlow medal, he's done it all. One of the greats and a man who'll be calling the game tonight for Triple M, the one and only Simon Black. Good afternoon, Simon.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Blackie, mate, this has become a real fixture in the AFL competition now, Easter Thursday at the Gabba, and as a grand final replay, you couldn't script it any better this year.
Well, I guess no one's won a game to this point, have they?
Well, somebody's got to win one.
Yay!
That's what I like. Somebody's got to win a game this season.
Yeah, we won't get a draw, but who knows? But look, it is a fixture in the. I think this Lions Collingwood game's been longer than 10 years. You know, Thursday night leading into Easter, so yeah. So the town gets around it. It's fantastic. But yeah, look, obviously, you know. Think about Collingwood, us at Brisbane Lions. We need a win tonight to kickstart our season, and I think we're going to do it. I think the boys have had a weekend off last weekend, and they're going to be well placed to sort of reset and find their best form. And fingers crossed. But on the flip side, Collingwood are desperate for a win as well.
Well, they're 0-3 at the moment, which is pretty awful. And the last time someone was 0-3 went on to win a premiership was North Melbourne in 1975. So it's not looking Collingwood's probably not going to win a premiership this year. But what does it look like then for the rest of the season? That means they're going to really have to start winning game after game after game.
Yeah, that's right. So they sort of say, you know, 23 games in an AFL season, you've got to win 16 of them to finish top four. And, you know, history says you've got to finish top four to win the premiership. So, they'll be desperate tonight. I think tonight's going to be a really cracking game of football because both sides are going to be so desperate to win. So the thing for probably both teams is just the defensive side of the game. They've probably dropped off a little bit both teams. And but Brisbane at home, we didn't lose last season all year at home, and they lost the first week against Carlton a few weeks ago. But I think Fags will get the boys reset tonight. I think we've beaten Collingwood besides the grand final last sort of three or four times. I'm going to back our boys in to get their act together and get the job done.
Well, we know Fags will be working overtime on the chewing gum at some stage during the game. He will be going nuts on that extra or PK, whatever he rolls with. Simon, on the other side of the thing, it's your former premiership teammate, now premiership coach with Collingwood, Craig McRae, who is in an unusual position now as coach. He is facing scrutiny, particularly from the Melbourne media. They're coming for his head a little bit at the moment. How do you think he'd be handling this pressure?
Oh, he's pretty cool, calm, collected old fly. But look, this is his third year, and year one they were made a prelim final, very successful, and obviously they won it last year. So it's his first time where they've had a bit of a challenge, I guess. But look, he is a wonderful coach, wonderful relationship sort of guy. He's a very astute football player too. So look, I don't think he'll be panicking for any funners, and I think they'll end of the season, I think they'll still play finals. Their list is too good not to for mine, but they just need a reset, and I think they will. I think he's got a great ability to sort of find the emotional arousal within the group, and I think Magpies will be thereabouts later in the year.
Blackie, what's your take on the Melbourne drug fiasco at the moment? It's not great for the game, but we just don't really know the full detail considering it came out with parliamentary privilege and Andrew Wilkie.
Yeah, look, I just don't know around the whole AFL drug testing model, whether players, if they're in some challenges at the, with drug use, whether the model at the moment's working, whether players can hide too much. Obviously there's certain players that need protection from a mental health perspective, but at the same time, for the other vast majority, if you want to play the system at the moment, the way it's set up, you can play it and not get caught. So I think it needs an intervention. I think it needs it pretty quick smart.
Yeah, well, Andrew Dillon, the boss of the game, has said that they are reviewing that policy at the moment. What about our man Simon Black calling the game tonight for Triple M?
With you, Flanners.
And getting himself prepared in the best way possible by going to a lunch at the Howard Smith Walls with the one and only Billy Moore.
Must be tough.
Unbelievable.
Perfect preparation, Flanners.
Simon Black, he'll be on the call team tonight for this blockbuster game against the Pies. Simon, good calling. Have a good night. Go the Lions.
Good on you guys. Happy Easter.
Liesl Jones, champion swimmer, Olympic gold medalist, and unaware of how popular films end. Triple M Rush Hours. Liesl doesn't know how these movies end. Liesl doesn't know.
Amazing for a woman of your worldliness, Liesl.
Yeah.
And who loves movies.
I love movies so much, and there's so many I haven't seen.
This is a really fun game for us because some of the greatest movies of all time you have not seen.
Have not seen. Now, the one today, I've literally seen none of it.
Fans of it will recognise that music instantly. It is Avatar.
Yeah.
It is the highest grossing at the time. It was the highest grossing movie ever.
Dreadfully
boring. I like
boring.
The clarinet. The clarinet's very nice.
Avatar is the movie. What do you know of it?
I know there's blue people in it. I don't know where they exist. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're blue.
Right.
Okay. I know nothing.
So Liesl will be presented with three possible endings to this very famous movie. You need to decide which of these endings is the correct real ending. Normally, producer Con joins us in here because we have three alternate endings we need to present. Con is off crook at the moment, so we are joined by the far more appealing Rosie O'Brien from the Triple M newsroom.
Thanks.
How are you, Rosie?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me again.
And Rosie, you're a big fan of the Avatar movies.
I love Avatar. Mm. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Huge fan.
Well, so it's perfect that we've got you in today. Now, Liesl,
yes.
Before you hear the endings, we want to give you a little bit more information. There are blue people, you're right. Mm. Humans have gone to this planet in order to mine it of its resources.
Okay.
Okay? This is where the blue people live. And in order to interact with these blue people, the real humans go into what they're called avatars. So they're fake blue people.
Oh.
And the humans go into like a little cabin thing,
lie down,
and then they come out as these blue people.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
That makes a bit more sense?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Now we play the game. Who's going first with their ending?
I think Rosie O'Brien.
Rosie O'Brien,
yeah,
please.
Happy to.
How does Avatar end?
This is how it ends. So war breaks out between the humans and the blue people over the planet's resources. In the end, Jake has his consciousness permanently moved from his body to his avatar after they win the war against the humans.
Okay.
Okay. Oh,
that's confusing, yeah.
The body swap ending.
Oh,
okay,
I like that.
Body swap, okay.
Right. Okay, Jones, for me, the mining of the resource slowly destroy the planet. And all the blue people must move to Earth. When they get to Earth, they are faced with indignation from the Earth's natives, that's the humans, and must live as subclass.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The last, Liesl, that is not how the movie ends. This is how the movie ends. The blue people flee their planet because of the humans, which leaves the humans behind on the planet. But when the blue people flee the planet, they take their spirit with them, which is what has been fueling the planet's ecosystem. And so the humans are forced to hunt them down throughout the solar system. Liesl Jones.
Oh, this is so hard.
You've got the body swap.
Yeah.
The Earth immigration and then the space chase.
The game of Space Chasey.
I'm going to say Space Chasey.
So you're saying that the Avatar film ends with a game of Space Chasey.
Yeah.
Liesl Jones, that's how you think Avatar ends?
Yes, yep. Oh,
you are wrong.
It ends with Rosie O'Brien's body swap.
It was confusing.
Yes. What do they do? They swap bodies.
No. Okay. At the end of the first Avatar, there's a big fight.
Oh.
And Sam Worthington's character, who's the main character, fights with the blue people as a blue person.
Oh.
And then stays as a blue person.
For life. Well, his consciousness is removed. He becomes a blue person.
Mm. And that's why we had multiple avatars.
Yes.
We can continue on.
Does it make you want to go and see it?
No.
I was very lucky today to be present, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, for the launching of the Carl Webb Medal. This is a medal that will be given to the man of the match between the Broncos and the Cowboys in tomorrow night's clash. And every time they play from here on in, there will be a Carl Medal presented. He was a legend, Carl Webb. Absolutely the rock between both clubs, Broncos and the Cowboys. And I was lucky enough today to catch up with one of the blokes who launched it. He's one of arguably Brisbane's greatest ever players, Darren Lockyer. The Carl Webb Medal, how special is this, and what will be tomorrow night? Now, a long-standing medal that will always be played between the Cowboys and the Bronx.
Yeah, I just think it adds another layer to what's already a great rivalry, and you know, I think the recipient will be very. It'll be a personal thing to win that medal for the first time. I mean, he obviously meant a lot to the Broncos. He meant a lot to the Cowboys, but I think you know, for him, it was about creating this legacy around MND and for his family. So. This medal will be going for a long time, and kids will ask their parents, who's Carl Webb and what's he done? And I think that'll be a great opportunity for people to understand who he is and you know, how the disease that MND that he got diagnosed with, how it affected him physically, but then what he did with it mentally.
They've also got a beer here tomorrow night. Forex have got on board. There's a beer here. It really is a foundation now that Carl would be looking down and loving it because he loved the Forex.
Yeah, and there's only 42 cartons of it. That's how old Carl was. So it's a pretty unique beer. Yeah, thanks to the Broncos and the Cowboys for getting behind this because, yeah, I know there's a pretty tight-knit group around Carl when he got diagnosed, and, you know, he was very positive about making a difference, and he wanted to make sure that his legacy around this and his foundation lived beyond him. And so for the Cowboys and the Broncos to contributing like they are in one of the biggest rivalries in our game, I think it's very humbling.
Kevy, great news. An extra year, part of the Broncos board. You played with him, you love him as a bloke, and he's just brought happiness back to the club.
Yeah, and I think obviously when he came in, there was the club was at really rock bottom, really, and no one was enjoying what they were doing, whether you're a player or whether you're on the staff. So he's come back in, he's created stability, he's built a team, and you know, they're winning games. I mean, I know it's been a bit of a rough start this year, but we haven't had a lot of luck with injuries, but last year was a great example of what he created at the club, and he's been rewarded with another year, and you know, he deserves it.
He wants to be here long term. He said, you know, he could outlast Wayne here, you know, and he said the job's not done. He's very focused on clearly that there's more to be done here, and that's premierships, and that's what he wants to bring back here.
Yeah, look, I think even if we had a one last year, he'd want to win this year. He won five as a player, didn't he?
Yeah.
So five or six?
Six.
He won six as a player. He just wants to win. You can always see the passion with Kevy, but he's obviously learned a lot about himself in the last few years because it is it's a tough gig. You're under a lot of pressure there, but he's handled it really well. And I think, you know, being rewarded with another year provides stability, but also I think he deserves it.
Good on you, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Thank you.
Aaron Lockyer.
First time ever.
Well done, Dob.
He's very iconic. You don't actually even need to say his name. You know exactly
who
that
he's
is.
Talking about. And what he was talking about off the back is it's now official. We talked about this yesterday. Mm. Kevin Walters, the extension, it's happened. That they announced it today. So tomorrow night will be so special. And as we talked about earlier, we've had the beer. We've had the iconic beer. Yep. The beer,
well Carl Webb Medal.
Yeah, awesome. Well done, Pat Donahue. A lot to like about everything that's going on there tomorrow.
It's going to be a very special moment for whoever wins that first ever Carl Webb Medal and for everybody in attendance as well. Our thoughts, of course, with Carl's family and his close friends ahead of that game.
Thanks for listening to the Triple M Rush Hour podcast for Ford Ranger. Wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle, Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.